Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He is Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, we're about to embark here on a very interesting week at 1265 Lombardi Avenue because we heard from Mike McCarthy on Monday. He confirmed that Aaron Rodgers would be running the scout team in practice for the Packers this week. Not unexpected, given the developments of late last week when he was activated onto the practice field on Saturday. But this is an interesting week in the sense that it's something that could really provide a big boost to the team, the morale, everybody excited, Rodgers potentially coming back next week for the Carolina game, all of that. But it could also be a big distraction. And it's something that the players, the coaches, everybody has to manage, because all this stuff of Rodgers coming back next week doesn't mean diddly poo, to use a Jim Mora phrase, if the Packers don't beat the Cleveland Browns. You've got to be able to focus on this game against Cleveland.
Absolutely. Mike McCarthy, that was his number one thing when he went to the podium. He agrees. There is excitement there. Obviously, this locker room, this team, they want to get their leader back on the field. But the only way to do that is to beat the Cleveland Browns, and Aaron Rodgers is not going to be able to help you do that on Sunday. He can help you in the lead-up to it, but on Sunday it's going to be Brett Hundley Incorporated that are going to be responsible for that assignment. So you have to get through this. You have to try to get it to be as normal of a week as possible. You know, when McCarthy was asked about it during his Monday news conference, he said, well, that's the hope. But, you know, these are 53 guys in coaching staff and everybody, independent minds that are going to have different feelings towards everything. But the only way to stay in this playoff race is to beat a team that has yet to win a game this season. And as easy as that sounds on paper, there are things that you have to look at with the Browns that suggest that, you know what, this is a game team. I think you were the one that pointed out they've had three or four losses by 3 points this season. So you cannot look past them and think about Rodgers and him playing. You have to get the job done on Sunday. But it will be exciting, I'm sure, for a lot of these guys to have Rodgers back in practice. And if you're D'Angelo Yancey and Michael Clark and all these young receivers, you better get your hands ready.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's an interesting element to think about, you know, the fact that Michael Clark was just put on the active roster, but yet as the seventh wide receiver, he's still going to be taking a lot of scout team reps in practice. But now his scout team quarterback this week will be number 12 on Wednesday and Thursday. So it'll be an interesting thing to see develop, presumably when we get media access to practice on Wednesday and Thursday during the individual drills. We'll be able to see Rodgers doing some things out there and whatnot, but it is a potential distraction that that you need to manage. And Mike McCarthy also talked about, or was asked about, I should say, the whole scoreboard watching thing. You know, the Packers, it's not just about getting to 10 wins. The Packers are going to need some help in order to get in the playoffs if they indeed can get to 10-6 at the end of the regular season. And if you're a Packers fan, yes, you're going to watch Thursday night and hope that the Saints can beat the Falcons. You're going to hope that the Jaguars can beat the Seahawks this weekend, and that the Minnesota Vikings can knock off the Carolina Panthers. All those types of results can help Green Bay. But that's another thing the Packers can't get distracted by. They can't spend any time scoreboard watching. Yeah, they'll probably be Thursday night, if you know players are at home, they'll probably be paying attention to what's going on. But you can't get all emotionally wrapped up, you know, the way a fan might in what goes on in that game, because anything that distracts you from getting ready for the Cleveland Browns, you know, can only potentially damage your hopes.
You covered high school sports in your previous occupation, as
plenty.
I did.
Yep, plenty.
Track and field, to use an analogy here. You
sure.
Look at the 2 mile, the 3,200-meter race. You need that final kick to finish the season. The Packers know that they not only need that kick, they need to be able to catch up to guys. They're behind here by a couple meters. So you can run as fast as you can, but it still is predicated on what those other teams are doing in front of you.
Yep.
The thing that you have to focus on, though, the only way it matters what happens at the finish line is if you start that kick now, if you start building that momentum. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were a good start with that. Yes, it was not a perfect performance. No doubt. You only had 84 passing yards. You had the interception. But you also need to look at the positives that came out of that. You saw the pass rush came to life. You saw Brett Hundley come alive in the final two series of the game. And more than anything else, you have those two running backs that we'll talk about later in the show. Those are the building blocks. I think you hear it so often in terms of how you lay out a season and exactly what the scenarios are going to be. Mike McCarthy has prepped this team year after year for this fourth quarter of the season, those last four games, the mindset that you have to have in those contests. And while for this particular one you won't have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, this is a lesson that has been preached to the other 53 guys on this roster going all the way back to April.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned with regards to, obviously, the imperfections from the game against Tampa Bay, you look at when I look at the strengths of Brett Hundley right now, it's that the Packers seem to always start with a very positive drive, and then if they need something at the end of the game, he can deliver. But it's about putting together a four-quarter game because the Packers just might need that against a Cleveland team that, frankly, Wes is going to be looking at this Green Bay team with a backup quarterback and a lot of ups and downs.
Yeah.
They're looking at this as their chance to chalk up a win.
We'll be talking about the Browns later this week, Mike, but they have the 10th-ranked defense in the NFL right now. I think a lot of people forget that when they look at that 0-12 record at this point in time. 9th against the run. So the passing game is going to have to step up in this one for Green Bay, and certainly that starts with Brett Hundley.
Yeah, all right. With that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkiewicz in that one. And Wes, something we touched on yesterday's show when we were reviewing the overtime victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that's what's going on in the Green Bay Packers offensive backfield right now with these two rookie running backs. And I know we only saw the one play, the game-clinching play from Aaron Jones, whereas Jamal Williams was really the workhorse for the day up until that point. But I don't know about you, but I am really, really intrigued as to just how this this 1-2 combination in the backfield could develop here with both of these guys healthy and with the experience that both of them have earned here so far in their rookie seasons.
Yeah, and you know, Ty Montgomery was the guy going into this season, and certainly he's going to be a guy that remains in the cards for them going forward while he's, you know, his year currently has been ended with the injured reserve designation. At the same time, when the Packers drafted Jamal Williams, when they drafted Aaron Jones, they were making a commitment to both of those players. You don't take those guys in the fourth and fifth round to sit on the bench. They were going to get some playing time sooner rather than later, likely based on how that position, you know, kind of goes in the NFL.
Right.
So to not only get that combo now during the final stretch of the season, probably when you need it most with the temperature starting to dip, the thing I like, not that you ever want injuries, but the thing I like that's worked out for them is they've been able to see what each of these guys can do independently of each other. You had Aaron Jones win two NFL, I believe it was Rookie of the Week honors within 3 weeks of each other.
Right, he had those 200-yard performances.
Right, against New Orleans and also Dallas in front of his home crowd. Then you have Jamal Williams have his first 100-yard game now in what would be his third start as a Packers running back. Now this week he's been nominated for the Ground Player of the Week and the Rookie of the Week. And then Aaron Jones also getting the Clutch Performer of the Week nomination for his 20-yard touchdown run.
Yeah.
The one thing we haven't seen yet, and I know a lot of people in Insider Inbox have been asking about this, is using these two guys in tandem. Because while Aaron Jones was active last week, the Packers were being careful with him, working him back in from that knee sprain. So I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I think it can be a big positive for them. If both of those guys are healthy, the thunder and lightning thing gets thrown out there a lot. It's become kind of a cliche over the last 15 years. But
yeah.
I still think their running styles and how they can kind of complement one another, if they can both develop that momentum early in games and get into a rhythm when maybe they aren't always getting, you know, 25 touches a game, I think that could be a really big plus for this offense because defensively, those are two different guys that you have to match up with, and you're not sure which one could be coming out on any given series.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing that interests me about this is that if you just look at a photo, a snapshot of these two guys, you're like, oh, they look like the same running back. But then you look at the highlights, you look at the action, these guys are not the same running back. You know, Jamal Williams, you know, I look at him as more of a grinded out, just real powerful guy, very powerful for the frame that he has, in my opinion. I think he showed that on that the goal line run for the touchdown against Tampa Bay this past Sunday. Aaron Jones, we've seen the moments of the breakaway speed. We've seen the shiftiness in the open field. I mean, the 20-yard touchdown run to beat the Buccaneers, just his quick decision making to bounce it outside when there wasn't anything up the middle, and then to hit that crease and go. The way the way these guys go about it, they've both had their success. They've both done it in a different way, but yet I go back to, you know, the snapshot of it, they kind of look like the same guy. To me, it's kind of fascinating the way it's evolved.
Yeah, and the Packers, I mean, this is a credit to Ted Thompson and his personnel department. When they drafted those three backs, you and I talked about it from draft night on for the last 6, 7, 8 months. They all are different backs. Devontae Mays, although he's, you know, had some troubles there with the opportunities he has had, completely different back at 230 pounds than the other two.
230 pounds, yeah.
It was never going to be a situation where they were going to get two guys that are just similar, and it's like, well, you throw one in, and the other guy's going to do the same thing. And the other thing I really like about that combo that they have right now, and this is nothing against Eddie Lacy or James Starks, but while they were built differently, they were very similar in what they did. They were both power backs.
Yep.
And I think the thing that could be really, really appetizing for these two guys is just their different skill sets and how they can be utilized in this offense. To Jamal Williams' credit, though, with getting the workhorse, you know, all of he has, I think it's 458 total yards over these last, now it would be 14 quarters.
Yeah, like three and a half games.
Three and a half games.
Yep.
He's been so darn productive, and he's been able to maintain that throughout an entire game. He builds towards the end of the game. He doesn't wear down. I think that's a testament to his conditioning and how he's, you know, really built up. And with their background and how they know each other, they're represented by the same agent, there is sort of this cheerleader mentality for whoever's in the game. It was that way when Aaron Jones got the opportunity, and Jones kept it going when Jamal Williams was the guy carrying the ball on Sunday.
Yeah, it is neat how these two have had an off-the-field relationship, you know, even before they even stepped on the field with the Packers necessarily. And they really are a couple of guys who are rooting for one another. But yet you know that when one guy says, okay, it's my opportunity, I'm in the game, and they're calling my number, like, I'm doing everything I can to get the ball the next time too, and make them not turn to the other guy. It's one of those things where it's competition, but it's not a bitter thing between two guys. It's two guys that really, really, and I know it's a cliche, but they really do want to push each other to achieve perhaps, you know, even more than they might if they were sort of handed the job.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because it doesn't always go that way either.
Right.
And I know talking to some people from their agency over the last couple months, Jamal Williams gets drafted by the Packers. They were ecstatic. Aaron Jones gets drafted by the Packers. They kind of get nervous a little bit. Like, how are these guys going to react to it? Yeah, they were hanging out together at the Super Bowl, and, you know, they've been friendly with each other. But now that they're actually competing, how would they respond? And they responded by being roommates during the offseason. And now, as we're seeing an opportunity these last four games of the regular season to be the 1-2 punch that the Packers really need out of that backfield.
Yeah, and we'll just have to see exactly how the workload gets divided up on Sunday in Cleveland. With that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz over there. And Wes, another player on the offensive side of the ball for the Packers we haven't really talked about with regards to the Tampa Bay game. We did discuss him last week, and I guess the fact that his name didn't really come up was a good thing, and that's the Packers' new right tackle, Jason Spriggs. He now has two NFL starts under his belt, and no, not everything goes perfectly, obviously, but this is a guy who looks to be settling in here a little bit, getting his legs under him as an NFL offensive lineman, so to speak, and this Packers offense is better for it. Because, you know, I'll be honest with you, with all the shuffling that was going on earlier in the season and then Spriggs himself missing so much time with the injury, you didn't really know how this was going to go.
Right.
And it's gone pretty well so far.
Yeah, and the Packers actually took a little bit of a risk there by putting him in at right tackle when Justin McCray had been serviceable at that spot. But there was also reality that Justin McCray, you know, for everything he's done, and you really commend him for the versatility he's shown this season, he is an interior guy. I mean, kind of like how when J.C. Treader made that spot start against Washington, you knew his best spot was still going to be center. You weren't looking at him as a future tackle, for instance.
Right.
So for them to make the shift and understand that Spriggs is the former second rounder, he's a guy they've invested a lot of time, obviously resources into, to give him this opportunity to prove that not only can he be the guy in this particular instance, but he can be a guy that can be counted on when Aaron Rodgers is back at some point in time to be able to work out there. We don't know exactly what the situation is going to be with Brian Bulaga with having that ACL injury in the middle of a season. Well, you know, time will tell on that. But for Spriggs, a really good opportunity for him. And I thought one of the conversations that myself and Bill Huber, another one of the Packers beat reporters, had with him last week was really enlightening. Because, you know, he didn't take it as a snide or anything at all, like that he got so that they looked at Kyle Murphy at that spot first at right tackle.
Right.
He didn't look at that as a negative. He looked at it as, you know what, I worked most of my career at left tackle. He played at left tackle at Indiana, and then Murphy gets the first shot at right tackle when Bulaga was out. Bulaga comes back. This has been basically learning a new language for him at right tackle. And he said it's like writing with your right hand all those years and then having to switch to your left in a weird sort of inverse way. But
yeah.
that being said, this is a really good opportunity for him. He understands that, and he's taking it, you know, with a really big boost that he's getting a chance to really go out there and show what he can do.
Yeah, and it's good to see him settling in here in these first couple of starts. And I haven't looked too much at the Cleveland Browns personnel, and I know we'll talk about them, probably on tomorrow's show. But you just look at what's ahead here with Spriggs essentially being the right tackle for the rest of the season, health permitting. He's going to have to face Julius Peppers down in Carolina. He's going to have to face Everson Griffin of the Minnesota Vikings, who definitely caused some problems in the game in Minnesota when the Packers were shuffling the linemen all around, you know, as guys were going in and out of the game that day in Minneapolis when Aaron Rodgers went down and all of that. So he's going to have some big challenges here, some really big challenges coming up. Now, obviously, there are scheme things you can do to help him out in the pass protection and whatnot when the time comes, but you're not going to be able to scheme something every single play. There are going to be plays where he's going to have to get the job done against one of the top guys in the league. And it's good to see that he's building up this level of experience now in order to take on that challenge coming up later this month.
Yeah, and truthfully, I don't know whether or not where the Browns are lining up Myles Garrett right now, the first overall pick that missed some time but has since returned. So maybe he sees him a little bit. But as you pointed out, Mike, there is a storm of sacks coming his way. Obviously, you're not wanting to give them up, but people that are producing them right now.
The guys with the tally marks in their column over the season and their careers.
And Julius Peppers, the Packers know him well. Everson Griffin goes without saying. And even honestly, Mike, that Detroit Lions team, I know they lost, I think it was Kerry Hyder right off the bat this year, but still Ziggy Ansah, a lot of talented guys there as well. So a great learning experience. I think the positive thing for him, he's had some tests here the first two starts that he's made at that spot and so far has been able to pass them with flying colors.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, and as you said before, and as we've said leading through this situation, we don't know what the status will be with Brian Bulaga as far as the start of the 2018 season because of when his injury occurred and what his timetable will be for the recovery. But if the Packers, have a difficult decision to make, so to speak, as you go through next spring with Kyle Murphy and Jason Spriggs at right tackle getting those reps, that'll be a good problem to have, and nobody will be complaining about it because that's what you bring up these young guys for, to get them to compete and then see who emerges.
They hit the worst-case scenario with those tackles this year with Bulaga dealing with the ankle sprain, it was a high ankle sprain early on, and then he has the knee injury, obviously.
Right.
Kyle Murphy played great, though. I mean, before he broke his foot in that game, I think it was against Cincinnati, I had been doing a fine job at right tackle, had filled in at left tackle with David Bakhtiari down, so it was unfortunate to see that happen. But again, when the Packers made that investment in the 16 draft into those two guys, this is why they did it, because you know you're not always going to be able to navigate these seasons with your full five starting offensive linemen.
Yeah, it can get tricky for sure. With that, we'll toss it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford sitting next to Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, before we go, I want to touch a little bit on the Packers special teams. We heard from special teams coordinator Ron Zook on Monday. Kind of seems like he continues to answer the same questions every week. Unfortunately, it's, you know, how did that penalty happen? You know, what was the impact? And again, you know, the Packers seem to continue to question, you know, whether some of these are really penalties or not. But the bottom line is, you know, these guys are playing maybe a little bit too close to the edge and getting flagged for things that are surprising them. They've got to put a stop to it because Trevor Davis is getting the job done, and he is really, really close to busting a big one. I really believe that.
Well, and as Ron Zook said on Monday evening, the most maddening part of that is the big runs that he's sort of busted out this season, big returns. Really, the penalties, holding, blocking the back, whatever it may be, don't have a direct really correlation to that return.
Yeah, they were kind of away from the ball.
It's one thing for a guy to hold a guy, and then that's the hole that a guy runs through.
Right.
In this case, a lot of it has been Davis finding where his blockers are, setting things up, and you know, finding a way to get out into the open field. He has such great game-changing speed. I think him and Jeff Janis are probably 1-2 right now. Maybe they're with Josh Hawkins in terms of the fastest guys on this roster.
Yep.
So when you're able to get him into space, he can be a weapon. I think they've seen that during this year and a half they've had him. He's shown a better ability to, you know, really hone in and bring in those punt returns and, you know, not have any muffs after having some issues during the preseason. So the plays are there. And despite having one of those taken back in that game this past weekend, still finished with a 30.3 kickoff return average, the best in his career so far. And it led to Mike McCarthy. It was one of several factors that led to Mike McCarthy saying that this was the best special teams performance of the season for
the team. And Davis with those returns of the kickoffs, he's getting more opportunities. The weather's getting colder. Yeah. The ball doesn't fly as far. He's getting more chances. I think it's also worth pointing out, we've seen a couple of big punts on special teams the last couple of weeks from rookie Justin Vogel in backed up situations, punting out of the end zone, needing to flip the field and give the defense a better chance. And he's done that both against Pittsburgh and against Tampa Bay. I know Ron Zook continues to preach, hey, we don't want those punts in the middle of the field. Those can be dangerous. They'd like to see some things directionally a little bit more. But the numbers, the net numbers that Justin Vogel is putting up with the coverage unit and some of his tough situation type of punts, he's doing a pretty good job.
I think that's probably the most impressive thing so far coming from Miami, and the fact that he's been able to get the hang time he has in some of these cold weather climates the last 2 weeks, a really big positive sign for him. Yeah, the directional thing, that's big in this team and the scheme. They have to work on that, but he definitely has the leg to be in this league.
Yeah, no question. And we've got to call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.